Monday, August 8, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
Don't sit on the bed.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, good, buddy.
Good. Looks like you recovered from your birthday party, okay?
I was a little rough yesterday. I just kind of laid around.
Okay, we're 2:45. Let's call the Board of Equalization to order. We'll stand and say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom. It's available for review of all people in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Yes.
Gary Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Okay, on number one, consent agenda items, we have the approval of the previous minutes from July 25th of 2022. I need approval for that.
A motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, you got Janet.
Second.
And a second by
Troy.
Troy.
Yeah.
Call roll, please, Joan.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes. Okay, we got new business. We got Christy, the assessor, requesting approval for clerical omitted and tax list correction errors. Christy?
Okay, I have three corrections. First one is a mobile home that the court purchased and they came in and paid up the taxes so they could destroy it. That one's $99.43. This was a one that for some reason it got back on the tax roll. The trailer, it's $99.44, $99.45. Was still on the tax roll. It's not there. It hasn't been there for a couple of years, so I just deleted it off. It was a sheriff sale way back when.
So $99.44 is just deleted?
Yeah, it's for 2 years.
Okay, and the last one you have is $99.45?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Just a different year. Same trailer, different year. 20 and 21.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it's the same parcel.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Christy on the three?
What, wait, and 43 was the same thing?
43 was one the actual court purchased and wanted to get rid of it so they could burn it down, so they came in and paid them up.
Okay, that's paid up, and the other ones were credits.
To get rid of. They never paid them to begin with, so we're not losing anything.
Okay.
I'll move to approve the corrections.
Okay, we got a motion by Bob and a second by Larry. Will you call roll, please?
Larry?
Okay, Larry?
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
I second what he
Janet? Doing.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we got, we're going to move on to three mail or emergency business.
Christy, can I ask you a question on under the emergency business, I guess. On the Veterans Drive and the mowing, so we looked the other day because there was some question on whose was what down there.
Yep.
And you guys have this in your packet. You can look at it later if you want in our meeting. I got to look at it the right way. So this is 39th, and this is the parcel here that we're talking about. So that's the same parcel number as this down here.
Yeah.
And so in our discussions, I guess this is the city of South Sioux.
Yeah, there was
correct?
A survey that the city split that out, and for some reason it didn't. It split out, but it didn't get put in the city's name. But the stuff down there and it up goes up.
Yeah, up here
city
to the
of South Sioux.
Okay.
So we have it on our stuff
page. At that handout, look at the very last. No, I thought I added the survey.
Oh, yeah, okay. So anyway, just for clarification on that, because there was some question on whose land and responsibility that was, so according to the assessor's office, now we know.
And we'll get it fixed. We have it split out, we just don't have it in the right name, but it is the city.
See, basically what happened when I was down there mowing a week ago Friday, a couple people, Joe Abbey for number one on the very end of Bennett Avenue by the interstate, he came down and helped me mow. But one of the gentlemen that lives on the very far house, I forget his name, but anyways, he came out and we were discussing of who mows in between Bennett Avenue and Veterans Drive. He's like, well, you know, my street's Bennett Avenue. That's my address. So, and I get that. So then all of a sudden I threw a monkey wrench in, you know, and the things were, I'm thinking, okay, so who's responsible of mowing between Bennett Avenue and Veterans Drive? So then Bob obviously went to your office and kind of clarified it to the city. But if you really look at this, the property line or what you get, your lines, your yellow lines, it makes sense for me that the city would be responsible to mow the center too. I mean, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah. It goes,
there's all kinds of manholes.
Goes down there and goes up.
Oh, believe me.
Utilities and manholes.
You wonder why they put all those lights up.
Sewer systems, yeah. I mean, all that's city, that's city infrastructure there.
When I first started.
Exactly what we have drawn, you can't really see it, but that's exactly what we have drawn out on the map.
When I first started mowing it, whatever, X amount of years ago, there was no lights, there was no utilities, there was nothing. Okay, then as time went on, they started putting all the lights in, they started putting all the utility boxes in, and made it very difficult to mow with that big mower.
Obstacle,
So what is this?
I would agree, that I drove down there with one in the
back. Oh, okay, so that would be, that's the overhang. Okay, so that's, yeah, so then that would be, so the city's it is inside then.
Mm-hmm. It'd be in between these two.
It kind of looks like it to me.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
And we'll fix it in January when we can, or in December when we can.
But if you, okay, so if you go to the next page where the line goes straight up, okay, where you see the line goes straight
up. That's just the north part. Yeah, I kind of cut it in half, mowing Veterans Drive on the north and mowing it on the south. Okay.
They already do everything this side of it.
Yeah, here. That way. Yeah.
But here they were.
29th
here's
north,
what's
they
been
do.
In question. Right. That's what's been in question.
Well, yeah. What's this square thing here? What is that?
What square?
Right here.
That's their. That's some mitigation ground.
Is that what that is?
That's mitigation ground right by their lift station right there.
Oh, okay.
So that belongs to the city.
That's the city, yeah.
That's where there's a lot of thistles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, Christy, I just wanted you to, being you're here, to clarify
it's
that.
No mow. It's just mitigation
for us, and I think it's clearer
it's
now.
Like,
we'll get it
your wet ground.
It's drawn on the
wetlands. It's a wetland.
It's supposed to be as dry as it is right out here.
So, Christy, what then will change? What's the update you'll do then for a change?
It'll be exempt. It'll just be a name change because it's already drawn out except one piece that has nothing to do with that. Everything else is drawn out. It just never got changed name-wise, but it is the city. We have the deed transfer.
And yet they have it on their agenda to...
Well...
This week to approve sending the county a bill for mowing.
Well, they haven't done it yet, but anyway, so... Now it's clear.
It's clear that that's
so we need to talk to the city then again.
Yeah, we can get him a copy of that.
We just need to clarify.
Okay.
What we need to do is we need to clarify
this right here.
What is exactly if they're going to mow between veterans and there in front of Lye's house, whatever, or who's responsible for the center?
It's the city owned. I mean, they transferred it. So.
Okay.
So the center's there too. Then there's the whole road there.
That's the way it looks on the survey. Goes all the way up.
That's interesting. Okay. Well,
Thank you.
Okay, so let's move on. If there's no other mail emergency business, we'll move on to public comments. Anybody from the public here want to speak with anything on the Board of Equalization? No? Okay, it's 2:54. We're adjourned.
I'm going to run out there and see if we got any more timesheets. 254.
Lean.
Robert.
Hey, sir.
How are you?
Curtis.
Okay, we'll see you guys next time.
Hey, doing good, brother.
Call for the day.
What are you doing?
What?
Are you guys done?
With the Board of Equalization, we're now to start the Board of Commissioners at 3.
I wish.
I got you.
There's an agenda in the back of the room on that little table, if you want to look at it.
Yeah, I'm past Mr. Long's big old deal.
Pretty good.
I have it on my desk, I was going to find any workers yet.
No, I'm just going to just do the best I can with what I got. I think.
That kid, I don't know if it's a kid or an old guy, the guy that's supposed to be doing the golf course prior to the county. Is he still alive? He's not back to work?
He's in the hospital.
Is he in the hospital?
Yeah.
From COVID? Is he a young guy or an old guy?
He's younger than I am, I think. Or a department employee.
He was, when he was hired, I had heard that he had never been in a motor grader before. So I assumed he was a, you know, young fellow kid, you know?
I don't know.
No, he's not real young. I would say he's in his 40s, maybe early 50s.
That's pretty young.
I mean, he has, I think his oldest son is, I think he told me, 12 or 13.
Do you live around this part of the country?
Yeah, I've known him for a long time. He was, and when I was, worked at the clerk's office, he came in with car titles. So he worked at a used car lot for a mechanic and did, you know, that type of thing background.
Jolene, I was going to ask you something that we talked about from the last week.
I forget.
Sure, I got a note somewhere on my desk, but.
Have you been down to the church by my place?
Couple times.
I was down about a month ago.
They're coming right along. I don't, they're not there all, like, all the time. I'm not one of them.
How much for the four today?
If they stay there.
I just like.
But they got the east side, they got to do the wind on the east side. And half.
You know?
I very much in the front.
They have a rebar in there.
Get in his head, I should say. Yeah, I can do that real well.
Work on it, I'm thinking about 2 weeks for sure. You know, maybe, I don't know how many people they're going to put on it, but if they put four or five guys on it, steel and rebar, it's probably 3 or 4 days.
Had Chad and his family at my house last week.
They got the channels on the sides to hold the concrete.
Kids. So, Gary's kids are still there. Chad's my back to
I hope they get it. You know, I hope they hang in there.
I had to hire a babysitter.
But they had a, like a closed trailer there last week. For a couple days and it disappeared again, see? I don't know if they must have went to another job or something. It was when you pull behind the pickup, you know, like 30 foot, 24, 30 foot.
Yeah, Tuesday night, I'll leave it.
Yeah.
My boys. I'm going out for more shot of golf.
But it sure'd be nice, because there's a, the road department's got quite a bit of work to do there. They got, I don't know what the plan is for the dirt, they got so much excess dirt.
Spend more time.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you drive around the west side?
Yeah, clear back there.
Mainland Road.
Goes back there a couple hundred yards, don't it?
Yeah, so I don't know if they're thinking to leave the ship there and just make a road.
Build the road up.
Maybe, I don't know. But if they needed dirt someplace, that sure be, but you can get it.
We'd have ditches then.
So would you make sure that the audio's turned up so we can hear, please? Sometimes it's hard to hear. Sit in the front row.
Back, I think.
I don't know how to, I'm not gonna mess with that.
Are we, are we gonna do the, is Zell gonna be?
Well, if I fall asleep, I probably will snore, but I don't bite.
Hard, right?
I don't bite, no. Or dog's ear.
Dog's ear. That's right.
That's it. There are some ears you have to.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys got started though.
Not human ears.
Are you waiting for time sheets? Is Robin on the other time sheets?
Oh, yeah, we got 3-4 minutes yet.
Oh. 301's not correct?
Very close.
My phone says anyways.
Yeah, I know. We had some payroll just last day. Finish up, so.
Okay.
A lot of, a couple acres of trees.
Yeah, we didn't get the sheriff in jail till really late. 11:30, I think it was, or 20, quarter, no, it was quarter till 12.
I thought she said it was after 12.
Well, maybe, yeah, it could have been. It was, now that you say it. It was 5 till and she still hadn't received it. Because I went.
Somebody, oh, this one was still ringing. Like, is that ringing in there? Janet, should we call in just 1 second?
He's got them. So,
she had 3 left.
Is this 987-2190, this number here? I just got a text from those guys. They can't call into that number. It doesn't go on through.
It do not disturb. It's off. I'm trying to tell them. Try it again.
Thanks for waiting, everybody. We had a couple of issues here right at the last minute, but we will get started now with the regular Board of Agenda meeting. We've done the Pledge of Allegiance, so Joan, would you call the roll, please?
Can you tell me what time it is?
It is.
3:03.
Thank you.
Robert.
Here.
J. Easy. Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious.
Here.
Troy Lonsley.
Here.
Janet,
okay.
That is Zell. If you could
pick
it
up.
Just hit speaker.
Hit speaker. Right there. This one. Oh. SPR.
Dakota County Board of Commissioners.
Hi, this is Zell. Chad and Hannah are here. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great. We just called our meeting to order, so.
So hang on. We'll
Okay, we call it order for the pledge.
So current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is the public comment. Is there anyone here that wishes to talk about any item that is not on the agenda?
I am.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Ron Hyman.
Right, thank
you. I live in Dakota City. I was last meeting I mentioned that the road between Jackson Hubbard, you know, like my mom was instrumental in having a, you know, having it paved, et cetera, and so on. Jolene provided me some wonderful information, so I'd just like to share it with you to the board. Basically, and Ray Gormley always called it Jackie's Road. So, but anyway, from Jolene's email, the exact miles is 3.8. It's completed in 2002. Paving was done by Gill Construction. The project was put on the 1 to 6 year plan in 1993. As far as I could tell, engineering started in 1995 and agreements with the NDOT started in 1996. County started acquiring right-of-way in 1999. Construction time was approximately 4 months. Actual construction planned to start June 1st to 2002 and was completed October 10th, 2002. And then the traffic count. When the plans were made, the average daily traffic count was 200, with projected count to be 290 by 2016. However, in 2019, the most recent traffic count data that she could find, the annual average daily traffic count was 730. So it's exceeded traffic count expectations. This was due in part to the ethanol plant in Jackson becoming operational in 2007, which helped contribute to the increase in traffic. So I just think it's like my mom was a commissioner that at the time, and I think she was really adamant in getting that done. And I just think it would be fitting. We just, she passed away July 19th. Just be fitting to, you know, honor her for service to the county and for her idea and to put that road to make it much easier for the trucks. The roll back and forth from, you know, Hubbard to Jackson, but, you know, which you see quite frequently. I mean, so it's I think it'd be a great tribute.
It is a busy road. I will say that.
It is.
Okay, Ronnie, I just got a quick question. A tribute, like just putting a sign up on each end, like on the Jackson side and the Hubbard side, just a sign that says Jackie's Road.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Maybe put the time, the date that she was commissioner.
Yep.
So something like that.
I get it. Okay. Yeah.
So.
Right. So it'd still be South Bluff Road, but it would be North Bluff Road. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So.
Well, Ron, thanks for doing this research on that, and I'll be in touch with you.
All right, great.
Appreciate it.
As we go forward.
Thanks. All right, thanks guys.
Thank you. Anyone else on any item that was not on the agenda? All right. Seeing none, we will then move on to the tabled items.
I'll make a motion. Right, you need to make a motion to take from the table?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I'll second it. I'll second it to take it from the table.
Which one? What are you saying? Do you want to talk?
Which one, Scott? You know what? Just for time's sake, can we do Zell, because we have them on the phone?
Yeah, we'll go with B.
I was just
item B. That's fine. Yep.
Okay. All right. So
I can second it.
Troy seconded to remove or to discuss item B, which is to approve or not approve a master human resources outsourcing agreement with Zell HR Solutions for a period of 6 months and thereafter automatically renewed for successive periods of 30 days at the fee of $5,000 per month plus all reasonable out-of-pocket expenses.
Scott? Oh,
yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay. So we have, I'm sorry, is it Chad on the phone?
Yeah, Chad, and I have Hannah here with me as well. Hannah's our Vice President of Operations.
Okay. Is there questions that then from the board on that, or where do you want to go with the discussion on Zelle? Do we want to hear from them, or do we know enough already from them, I guess, or Troy? Any suggestions on that?
I think the county attorney has some questions about your contract, and maybe she would like to discuss that with you further, possibly. Was there some questions you had for him on the contract?
I pointed them out to the board last time, so you've got them all, and it looks like they answered them, so no.
Okay, anybody else? Any questions for Chad?
And how many counties do you take care of again, Chad?
Oh, gosh.
17.
I think it's 12 right now. Troy, I think it was Troy.
Okay.
I'd love to answer any questions, too. If there's any questions that seem great to anybody, I'd love to address any of those. Because, you know, what we do for counties is make things easier, not harder. And when people bring us on board, we are brought on board to enhance the process of procedures company culture. So we don't take any work of anybody that works for the county. We do take it off. In terms of the fees, too, I did want to address that. We did bring on last week alone three new counties. And one county we're working with, relatively close in size to you, they negotiated our contract down to $4,000. So I did have a chance to speak with Troy earlier today, and I wanted to reference the board that we would do that for you guys as well. We can't go lower than that, but I wanted to be fair. And if we lower one similar size, I wanted to lower yours as well. In regard to other fees, the only other fee we ever have is mileage. That's it. We never charge for food. We in fact bring food if we have food for the people within the county. I just wanted to reference that. That's important. That's because, you know, we've had a couple of counties say, well, we'll reinvest that money back in our people. Well, we are an investment in the people. And then, you know, if you do that, you have to do it in a bonus structure that you can't, the compression of giving people raises with that amount that amounts to us. Nobody's ever done that before. It's an idea that just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Chad.
So I just want to make sure that, you know,
Chad,
if there are any gray areas, if they had any assumptions, I'd love to address those right now.
Chad, this is Bob. Just a question. So if we would then sign a contract and start tomorrow, then what would happen, say, on day one? Where would we start at? Do you guys wait for feedback from us? Do you, you know, what happens if we sign a contract today? What happens tomorrow?
Yeah, the first thing we ask for is a copy of the handbook so we can start looking at that right away. If there's any other policies and procedures that you have that are outside of the handbook, we'd like to look at those right away, too, just to make sure we can start the process of looking at those and improving those as needed. And then we arrange a time as soon as possible to get up to Dakota City to meet with all of the elected officials and the employee base to explain who we are and what we're going to do for the county.
Yeah, I would just say also that we find that each individual department has sort of their own unique set of expectations and needs. And so really early on, we love to get in front of those elected officials and or department heads and just make sure that we understand what their pain points are. Of course, if there are other directives also from the board, those take priority, certainly in getting those accomplished. So really, it's, you know, making sure that anything from the board is on our radar, and if there are initiatives that you want us to start on, but then the really important piece is getting in front of those elected officials and department heads to see where their pain points are and where we can assist.
So I'm sure one of the things that you'll hear from and have heard in the past from different county officials, not here because we haven't had your services yet, but is just a generic comment like, we don't need help, we're okay, leave us alone type thing. So where do you go? Where do you go from there?
That's a great question. And yes, we hear that at different counties, many of which we work with now. And I want to phrase this the right way. I don't mean it to offend anybody. You know, it's not going to come off as offensive. But I would say the counties that reference that probably need us the most. Because, again, they're assuming that we have everything taken care of. But here's the thing that we are able to do for counties is we get to come in and be an HR department they've never had. Because if that burden's put on an elected official, it's never going to work out the way it should because they're living within the county. They have a different job to do. And other elected officials and employees aren't going to go to an elected official to tell them, you know, challenges they have or, you know, some just things are obstructing them from being successful at work because that's just not how it works. And we're there to be this neutral party that's there for all of the employees and, you know, to help build through Dakota County the best county we can possibly build. It's already great, I'm just saying, but we're there to hopefully come in and, you know, listen to all of you as our bosses and look for ways we can improve because, I mean, my company can improve. We try to improve ourselves monthly on different areas we have gaps in, and we're not there to tell people what you're doing wrong. That's not how we lead. It's going by listening and then looking at, like Hannah said, you have and addressing those and taking, you know, work off the plate and also, yeah, having a place for employees to talk to us because that will happen a lot.
So
you know, and the other things we referenced last time we were there visiting with you, all the things that we get to do as well from you know, employee relations to policies to recruiting to training development, all those kind of things. Those are fun things. And, you know, in that 6 months, if anything, worst case scenario for us is we come in and help build policies and procedures that we can hand off. That's what we hope to do. I mean, most of our counties all stay with us to see the value, and that's our best advertisements or retention of counties.
Right. So do you get a lot of feedback from your counties that you work with, different offices on, have you found that to be a good thing to hear from different offices on potentially what their problems may be that aren't being addressed? That you could address with who then, the board or the elected official, or how would that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll jump in on this one. So I think it's twofold. Sometimes it's issues that are from a leadership capacity. So hey, you know, elected official or department head, you're doing this or leading in this way, and this is the way it's coming off to, you know, X employee. Part of it is educating the employee on, you know, what their role is within a department. I think there have been several situations that have come up that would warrant going to the board or to a subcommittee. So maybe that's to a personnel committee or to a finance committee. But really, it has, for us, obviously, it's a good thing. It means they know where to go and they know how to get their issues resolved. But I'm even thinking, you know, through ADA type of stuff or, you know, lots of compliancy type of things that elected officials won't necessarily dig into and understand, but something that would need addressed. So I would say it's a multitude of conclusions that come out of those conversations. Some are just addressing with the individual, maybe it's addressing with their manager, but then some of them do get escalated to the board. And, you know, I've always said in our relationships with the counties is I want to bring to you guys what we have to, but certainly our job is to keep you out of the weeds so that you're not dealing with those personnel issues if you don't have to, or if they can be resolved at a lower level, certainly we want to do that. So all of the above, I guess I would say.
So tell me how then, I'm sure you spend a lot of time with the clerk's office, in the counties you do have on board now. So are you, like FMLA issues, things like that, do you have somebody then on staff that somebody could call that would save the clerk's office? Because honestly, the clerk gets everything from, you know, dog catcher to health insurance to just a lot of things. And it's a busy place. So are you actively then helping in clerk's offices? I'm sure you are, but so just...
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say that the clerk's office is the number one place where just inadvertently or almost just as a catch-all of all HR-related items. And so we work very closely with the clerk's office. I would say that's the office we work with the most, just because historically they've received the requests. So, FMLA. And, you know, part of that is an education process, too, with your employee base, which is why it's so important for us to get out with your elected officials and help them understand what they do direct their employees to go to Zelle for. And, you know, I would say that, gosh, it's everything outside of, like, payroll processing. And, you know, even with payroll processing, you know, we can help with what a claim looks like, or, you know, someone's leaving and we need to understand what the payout is or whatever that looks like. But FMLA, reasonable accommodations under ADA, anything that would have to do with performance improvement, onboarding of new employees. So a lot of those pieces that we can make sure that we either take off of the clerk's plate or work in tandem with the clerk's office to make sure that those are getting completed. I would say that that's been one of the coolest success stories, is what we've been able to take off of the clerk's plate, because, like I said, they just have been historically a catch-all for all things human resources.
So do you have when it comes to insurance, do you have a person that handles that knows everything about health insurance, everything that would fall under that category? Because that's, you know, a lot of questions are there. Is this covered? Is that covered? Et cetera, et cetera. So who handles the insurance part of it? Or do you just assign somebody to that? How does that work?
We generally know, when we get a chance to study your plan, we know the answers. There's things outside of the plan. Yeah, we're trained to know most health and health benefit types of questions.
Okay.
If we can't get something answered, I don't know who your broker is, but we would just work through the broker with that to make sure that the answer is right, fast, and it's, you know, getting the right answer. But yeah, we generally know the answers.
Okay. So if you don't know the answer to a specific question like that, do we get the answer, or would we get the answer in the same day?
I would say, but we don't know the answer.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we should be able to, as long as we can. We have real. I don't know. Do you guys know who your broker is?
Who is it, John?
Robert Rask.
Yeah, he happens to be sitting in the audience. So.
Oh, great. Generally speaking, we would just call the broker, and if we don't know the answer, it might be something that they would be able to help us.
Okay.
With.
All right.
They usually have, if they're not persons, that person assigned is not available, that usually someone's available, because who would make that call day of? Yes.
Okay. All
Chad,
right.
Along that same line, insurance, that was a good question brought up by Bob. I noticed on your list of comprehensive consulting was company health insurance plan benchmarks. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so a lot of clients will ask us to make sure that their benefits, you know, are competitive, strong in the marketplace. So we go to the market with the different brokers to, because I think everybody off of you, and now your brokers, everybody should probably shop their plan at least every 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. just to make sure that your plan is strong and that you're getting the service that you need, mm-hmm. And all those types of things. So we manage that whole process, and we have an RFP process we have the brokers go through, and then we bring that back to the commissioners with recommendations based on the series of questions that are asked, you know, through the RFP, and then our relationship with the brokers.
Okay. And that's part of your basic services?
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions from the board on any of the items that Kim had pointed out earlier? We have the answer to those.
I think it looked like, we had a handout with the response from Zelle on that, didn't we? What they would do, make adjustments on that contract.
Yeah, that right there.
What, yeah, that one right there. Yeah, I think I read that. So mileage is the major expense, and how? And you said you come.
They don't come every time. They would maybe do most of it by phone call or Zoom or I don't know.
Is it mostly done by over the phone or Zoom, Chad or Hannah?
Well, the first couple of months we like to be on site a fair amount because we want to get to know the employee base that we're serving.
Uh-huh.
And then as we get to know our team members, we get a chance to do a lot more over the phone. I would say Zoom's not used that much. People get to know if they have our cell phone numbers is what they have. So we're easily accessible for all employees to get our direct cell phone number, so we're just really easy to get in touch with. So usually it's by phone, email. We do some trainings by Zoom, although I'm Zoomed out if anybody else is, but you know, we'd like to be on site for trainings and things like that too, but it's a myriad of on site to phone calls, to emails, to text messages, to whatever works best for people.
We have a new, we'll have, Joan's retiring, so we'll have a new clerk coming in January. So I don't know if Cherie's had an opportunity to call and visit or talk to some of the references.
She's reached out to some other counties. I know. Okay. I was hoping she would be here today.
Me too. I was really hoping to get some of, because I think it's important that, I mean, her desk is the desk that it's going to be. She'll have probably, you know, be working through some of those questions and working. I need some phone calls, though, and I know recruitment's a challenge, and a lot of departments, they're focusing on what they really need to be doing every day, and it's hard to focus on getting ads in and screening applicants, and that was one thing that struck me, and the health insurance, I know that's an area that always is a challenge when you go through that process of RFP, so those two areas look, and FMLA documentation with COVID, that's really an important piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So So Cherie has had a chance to. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Hey, Hannah, this is Scott. I got a question for you. This is for Hannah, okay? I talked to Chad earlier about this, and I didn't quite when he was here like 6 weeks ago. But the union, okay? You got the bulk of our employees are. Are part of unions. There's three different unions here in Dakota County. The road department, okay. The sheriff's department, and the jailers. So that's one of my concerns, you know. And I'm not going to lie, when I first met with Chad and whoever else the gentleman was with him, you know, I thought it was going to be a great idea. And I'm still on the fence post right now, but needless to say, I don't know the clarification of how many unions that you deal with and how that works. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so are you asking, Scott, what the extent is to our relationship with unions, like when our clients
yes.
have you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So I can speak to particularly the roads department and the sheriff's department. So a lot of when we start to deal with the unions, it's during like the grievance processes. So a lot of it is us just really guiding employees on how to follow what has been structured by the union. And so a lot of it is interpretation, I'll be really honest with you. It's overwhelming. Some people don't know where to go to or what the first step is. And so that's where we found our biggest impact with the union is that just helping them navigate, hey, I have this, where do I go next? How many days do I have to respond to this? You know, what are the steps A, B, and C that I need to take? And so that really is the extent to which we work with the unions in the different counties.
So is there a lot of unions that you deal with?
You know, I would say that every county has at least one area that is unionized. You guys are a little unique in having three, but...
Well, we're unique, all right.
It's usually the roads or the sheriff's department.
Right. Okay. Yep. And I don't think that anybody. I don't think anybody that works here that's in the union that has any issues of knowing how to go about any of their issues that they have. I just didn't know if you guys were the ones trying to put the fire out before it went, you know, to the next level. Is all.
Yeah, I mean, and absolutely. I think that's always the goal, and I would hope that my big thing, guys, is just building the relationships and getting people comfortable with coming to me when they have an issue and seeing how, you know, at the end of the day, how I can mitigate the, like you said, mitigate the flame a little bit. And so if we can deal with that beforehand, absolutely. But we got to, you know, there's a trust building scenario there first.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Sorry. So are you saying, like, when we would go, when is it? I don't think we have any up for negotiation in the next year or two, but
3 years, I think.
Do you sit down with us, or do we still use our legal counsel, or, I mean?
Yeah, so you would still be using your legal counsel on that. Okay. Unfortunately, we're not part of those negotiations in the union process. It would really just be interpretation and helping to navigate post-negotiation.
But do you help, you indicated here on salary and things like that, you can help us determine what is appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, off the top of my head right now, I can think of four active compensation, like full-on analysis that we're doing for counties. So yeah, and that comes in twofold. If it is, you know, one-off positions that we need to look at, or it's a different time of year that increases are based on union needs. But yeah, absolutely, we would definitely be able to help with what the market is saying in terms of salary and hourly wages.
Okay.
So one final question. So is there just a say I'm an employee in the clerk's office and I wanted to speak with you guys about something. Is there just one number they call for you guys, or who do they call if they had a question on maybe insurance or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. They just call the office?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just coming. So we would have an assigned team that everybody would become familiar with. So typically how it's structured is we have a lead consultant on the account. We'll have someone that is another consultant, so a secondary consultant. We have an operations person that does all of the ops on the back end. And then we have the recruiting coordinator. So that person's going to do all recruiting. That's all she does all day. So with that said, generally speaking, it's the one number of the lead consultant that the person would have. But of course, if they were out of the office, then you would have three other numbers to be able to reach someone to get an answer.
Okay.
Do we have the contract with the 4,000 already?
Ask them to put some of the whatever issues you want to change according to Kim's question and answers and that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the contract that you mentioned, the 4,000, we don't have that yet, right?
No, I'd have to make it. I can get that back in the next 5 minutes, but.
No, that's okay.
Cut that first.
That's okay.
I think if we're going to act on it, we can make a contingent to the different dollar amount if this thing goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can deal with the contracts.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What county was negotiated the $4,000 settlement with them?
What county? Did you hear that? What county negotiated the 4,000, if you know?
You said it was close by us.
Albion, Boone County.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
What's your comment?
Any other questions from anybody in the audience? Sorry. No.
Okay. Only thing I can tell you, Chad, we're going to go about our business here, I think. I don't think there's any more questions, I don't think. But I can tell you one thing,
John.
You better keep that Hannah around because she's pretty knowledgeable. And
John, you are absolutely right there.
I know I'm right.
Yeah.
Yep. More than one way. But yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sounds good. I think that's all we have, don't we?
Well, we have all the answers to the questions that we did have. So unless Joan, if you had any. No. Okay.
Does the start date, is that negotiable? I mean.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you said when you sign it, it's 6 months or whatever for the trial period.
Whenever you want to start. So if you want to start,
I'm just thinking
let's say it's September.
would be critical as it relates to the transition is what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Either delay the start or, I don't know. I guess I don't know when the perfect time is.
Okay. We want to make things easy for all of you. We want to be the easy button people.
I would think something like
the 1st of September.
Or October later, and get them on so that they
September, October, we would be great whenever.
Okay.
I think what Joan's implying is like the last quarter and maybe the first quarter on the contract, like the October, okay. November, December, January, February, March.
Or even November, December. I'm trying to think of what happens in the spring, what kind of things happen when, that you need those.
That would take us through April if we started in October. And that'd be good.
Okay, guys and gals, any other questions for them? If not, I think we need a motion or not on Zell at.
Are we letting these people go, or are they going to stay online with us?
They can stay if they want.
Do you guys want to stay?
No. I don't. But you want us to?
No. Goodbye.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks.
So you can stay on if you want to.
I'll see you later. Goodbye, Hannah.
Thanks.
Nice talking to you. Bye, everybody. Thank
you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay. Scott would say I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to make a motion to approve Zell at the amended contract or whatever.
At the 4,000.
4,000 for 6 months. Per month.
Preliminary.
Okay.
And then we could.
Do you want to make any other changes, like the 45-day remittance period, maybe? Just because.
Probably be a good idea.
Yeah, because they said they would change that to 45 instead of 30.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the number.
And offer a 30-day. Thank you for doing this, Kim, because they actually came back and fixed fixed a lot of this stuff.
Well, according to the changes here.
Whenever I go on a limb, it never goes well.
Mm-hmm. And party software, I mean, as we think about, I see time clock is on here next. I mean, I think that's one of our concern areas as well.
Well, at least I don't think it goes well.
Well, I'll second the motion because I.
Okay.
Just to get it on, and other people can bring in their issues.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the Zell contract for the human resource agreement
for
6 months.
Okay.
At the 4,000, and then with our additional stipulations, questions in the contract here, which I think are easily inserted in that. So any other comments by the board?
I saw some comments from some of the elected officials and board or departments, but I never did hear anything from Cherie. Do we have any feedback from Cherie? I mean, I think it would be helpful to her, but I don't, I want her to use
it. It would be very helpful.
I want her to, because that's where a lot of that stuff lands in when you're processing.
It would be very helpful.
Payroll and trying to interpret things. And
she wouldn't be so overwhelmed starting out. She'd have an extra hand.
There's just a lot of questions you call that you want an expert to say, well, this is how the law on FLMA, for instance, this is the kind of paperwork you need to have.
Your expert, right?
Okay, so we have a motion by Troy, seconded by Janet, to approve. Would you call the roll, please, Joan?
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
I'm not ready yet, no.
Okay. Motion carried. So we will then move on.
What is your lens worth so much better than mine?
I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket, Scott.
Move on to, or back to.
I'm going to come off the table on A, all right? I'm going to make a motion to come off the table on A.
Okay. And I'll second it.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Time clocks.
Yeah, approve. So item A then. I guess we need a motion to bring it off the table.
Larry, to remove time clocks from the table for discussion. Yes or no?
Yes.
Is that the end of the time clock?
We're going to talk about it.
Bring it back out for vote on the action.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. So, I guess I'll just open it up for questions, comments from the board. I just think it would be helpful, at least knowing, or at least today anyway, and I know every day wouldn't be a perfect scenario, but with Janet and I doing a payroll today, that there's a lot of issues that I think it would be good for if we had one. Janet, maybe you can comment on the amount of changes, et cetera, on that.
Yeah, I did payroll most of last year, and I made a bunch of phone calls on this too. First of all, we have a paper system where people write out their times, and I'll be honest with you, in one particular department of 50 timesheets that we just went through, 30 of them had either calculation errors or things that were whited out and changed. And that's, you know, I think that's what we're trying to get, is so it's accurately figured. And I mean, if you put your thumb down at 758 and you put your thumb down at 403, it's going to calculate it. You know, you don't have to figure out. I mean, it's complicated. And literally, the time sheets today were still rolling in at 305. Yeah, 305. We were out there still trying to do time sheets. So, I mean, it seems to me if you, and I mean, I have punched a time clock. I've done it with my, I've never done it with my thumb. I've done it with what do you call it, like a badge.
Right.
I've done it with other, you know, like a little fob thing. And I've also been a manager and tried to chase these things down. And it's a pain to chase them down if somebody's sick on Monday and you can't get it. And I just feel like it's the fair way and the right way to compensate people. And matter of fact, one of the errors we found was she was $10 short on her time the way she added it up. It was amazing. She had overtime and didn't even realize it because of circumstances going on, and caught it because it was added up wrong. So I think, I mean, most... What I figured out is I made the phone calls to these. The same time I was calling about Zelle, I was asking them the same question about time clocks. If they're less than 100 employees, sometimes they still do it by paper. Depends on when adding it up. But if they're more than 100, it's pretty much they're doing some, maybe not the same one we're doing, but they're doing some kind of a time clock system, so it automatically comes in with the data. It's calculated. If there's overtime, it's calculated at overtime. That's another one I caught. There was somebody had worked over 40 hours but didn't have it down as they should have got 2 to 3 hours of overtime pay, not just straight pay. So, I mean, these kind of errors, sometimes they're in our favor and sometimes they're not. But the thing is we want to pay people correctly.
Yeah. And there are, in the MIPS software system that they, several of the offices have here, you can go on MIPS website. That's our state, our NACO folks. Anyway, there's at least 20 counties that use the MIPS software time
sheets.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that's just MIPS. Maybe somebody else has their own. I'm assuming folks like Lancaster, Sarpy, Douglas have.
Yeah, they had some different, like IRIS was one of the
yeah, extensive,
one of them.
A different timekeeping thing.
So we got it all figured out for like the guys on their cell phones, is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay. So, and the thing that, the kind of way that I look at this here is, you know, I tried this back, the other board back in 2012 or 2011, whatever it was, and it went nowhere. This is at least going somewhere, and I think that without a doubt, I think everybody's on the same page with this, of making it easier for the clerk's office and making sure that everybody's paid the proper time. You know, even if you were being shorted, you know, X amount of minutes by every employee, you know, that adds up. Or vice versa, if we're not paying it properly. Without a doubt, I'm a fan of this, and I think it should happen because, and should elected official be able to say, hey, we don't want this? Who is the elected official's not paying these people? The county's paying these people.
You are
county employees.
Yeah, the county employees. So I just, and I understand that, you know, elected officials got so much if you want to say, power over their own office. And something like this, I just think makes too much sense for like I said, for everyone. I just think, you know, what's the problem of somebody putting their finger on when they walk in there, and they walk in and they walk out to lunch, or they walk, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, I mean, to me, it's just fair. They should have nothing to hide.
I think it would take pressure off the head, the department head.
I'm doing the paperwork and signing everything. I don't. Well, they still have to sign their time sheets at the end of the pay period.
The time system will print out a timesheet for them to sign.
I think it would make a lot of sense for the jail. I think it would make things so much easier, you know, for all the jailers.
If you talk to Michelle over there, yeah. I mean, she's got 50. Her Monday's just got to be as bad as Robin,
right.
You know, in here. I mean, you know, because if Scott, if you had a timesheet and you turned it in today and you were gone and we couldn't get a hold of you and your timesheet was wrong,
yeah.
Well, there you go. What it was done.
I just think it'd make things easier. I think the county's been doing this for so many decades. I think once they get used to it, I think everybody's going to be like, ah, you know, this is simple, this is easy, this is the way it should have been. So, you know, everybody fears change, but you know what? Sometimes change is good. That's just, I don't know, my opinion. Like I said, I wanted to do this way back in the day, and it didn't happen. And so, but now we got everything. So we didn't have things set up back then. Now everything's set up where, you know what, it can happen. The clocks are in place, the program's in place. It just got to get the people in place.
Internet. Things like that.
Yeah.
I think the clerk's office still does have to do some of the programming because you've got to have the right salary for everybody so they can have like the overtime pay. Okay. But
there's going to be somewhere.
And a manager in each department usually has to go in if somebody misses a punch, has to go in. And I mean,
that's been our biggest problem right now.
Yes, missing punches.
Correcting punches and missing punches.
And some of the
people working flex hours.
A couple of the counties that I did talk to. Their elected official was able to go in and manually adjust time. I'm not sure. So you can do that either way. Because, you know, really the way it should go is when it comes to the clerk's office, it should be right. I know there's, you know, we're human, it's going to make mistakes, even with a time clock. However, another set of eyes and you know.
I just think at the end of the day it'll be easier for everyone.
Yeah.
I really do.
And you make a good point about Michelle over there. I mean, the jailers, that would be pretty easy. They all walk in the front door and they walk out the door. And
they don't even take a break.
You only have a punch at lunch. Usually where the misses happen is at lunch punch out. Somebody comes back and they immediately have to help somebody and they don't get punched in.
Any other questions from the board? I'm going to ask for comments from the audience here if the board, and we can come back to it. Anybody in the audience want to comment about anything? If you do, you got to come up front. Name, address for the record.
I was just going to comment on it. We used to use the biometrics at AGP, and I did the payroll for them. And basically, every employee walked in, they had an employee number, they typed it in, you scanned your finger. If there was missed marks, whoever department head was, which was me, you would go in and it would have either a green or a red check mark by it if it was completed. And then you could manually adjust it and do whatever. Then you would send it off to our actual payroll clerk.
Adam?
Down at the corporate office.
Adam?
Dylan Northrow.
Dylan.
Yep.
For the record.
So.
Thank you.
So you guys know.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was pretty simple.
Okay. Kevin?
I just had a question. How difficult is it to fix the missed punches? Or how time consuming?
The system, the actual time system?
Yeah, I mean, for the person that's going to have to fix it, say someone messes up every single day, what type of a headache is that going to be for their department head?
5 minutes.
Each time?
Pretty simple. It'll have a red or green check mark by, you know, where they had missed. A lot of times what happens is, like Janet had mentioned, when you come back from lunch, because once you punch in, that time is in there. So if you forget to punch out for lunch or something like that, you're going to have a mark against there. But you literally just go in and click on that person and you can manually implement that. And then I think there's actually a spot where they have to scan their finger to be approved for that manual change.
is how our system had worked.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess I had just a little follow-up on that. And obviously from the sheriff's office side, those guys are on duty as soon as they call out. How are you going to have them punch in and punch out? Are they going to have them in their vehicle? Everyone is?
Or you know, Michelle.
Otherwise, it'll be wrong. Every single person will be wrong every single day.
But don't they call in now to Michelle and say, where I'm on duty? Or whoever, how do they clock it in?
Michelle doesn't
work. How do they clock it in?
They call in on the radio.
Oh, so somebody's there. Yeah.
To dispatch. Yeah, but that's in their dispatch. That's okay. Not to okay. Payroll.
Okay.
So they're time clock. If you're talking punching in. I'm just curious on that. It's,
well,
it's
can't how can't they do the phones? Like, would they be able to do the phone system?
And that's a valid question, Kevin.
The road department guys, can they do the phone as well?
Oh, you can sign in on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free app.
It's a free app, but if you're using it.
Then negotiate it with them,
though. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry. No, go ahead.
That's it, Kevin, for you?
Yeah, I was just curious on what the time is, and then, you know, if you've got, you know, six deputies working, you're going to have 12 missed punches in one day, every single day, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a future problem, maybe, to address.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it's been negotiated with the guys to put stuff on their phone. I think that would have to be something through the union. But also, different meetings I've been to, we've been told not to do stuff on your personal phones, because then if there's an issue, they'll take your phone. And then somebody won't have their personal phone anymore while they're sorting through issues and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it's been negotiated with a couple of them guys that would need that. I don't know.
It probably has not. And then as far as, there's always a glitch in everything in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, just in case if, like you said, if something with their personal phone, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And Sheriff made the same comment. He doesn't like his deputies to use their. He's asked them not to use their personal phones.
But they do. They have another phone.
Mm-hmm. Want a supply?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's paying?
Supply
one. Well, sometimes. I mean, I've seen where they do a stipend, a $5 stipend a month for to pay a part of a phone so that people can use it.
They
took
that away.
Yeah.
Yeah. $5. Oh, I mean, no. We've already. Otherwise, you have to carry two phones. That's the other thing. Yeah, that's a tricky
thing. I would rather carry two phones than go out and be working in an accident or something like that, snap a picture of an accident, and then have some attorney for the defense subpoena my phone and have it held for however long a trial takes and appeal takes, whatever.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting
bill.
Angle. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting
it's
angle.
It's evidence.
Can't say I.
We could probably talk to some counties that have this and ask them what they do.
How they're doing it, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's counties that are doing this, so, I mean, there has to be a way to make it work.
I just somehow, however we can make it the easiest for everybody that's doing the payroll
and
the clerk's office. That's the only thing I'm after.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it would be all in the system for the clerk, and we wouldn't be getting payroll things at 248.
Lou
Franco from Dakota County. Thank you for letting me come up here. You know, there can be glitches or problems with anything, but once it's implemented, I mean, things can always be worked out. There's always a way of working something out to where it's fair for everybody, because what it comes down to is taxpayers' money, and everybody on the board has a responsibility to make sure that the money that the taxpayers pay is distributed correctly. So it really goes back to taxpayers' money. So, and anything can be worked out. You know, there might be some problems for somebody for a minimum amount of people, but that's life. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have to deal with little discrepancies or little problems in our life, that something we just don't want to do. Well, sometimes we have to do it. That's the reality.
Yes, ma'am.
Of our life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any comments on that issue?
What do we pay for a cell phone, Jolene? What do you pay for a cell phone now? Is it $30, $40 a month?
I think it's $40 a month.
A month is what we pay?
I think it's a public service. rate that we get through Verizon.
Just the basic to for them to log in, whatever.
Does everyone have a phone that works in the road department?
No, just two.
Not a county-issued one?
No, just Brent, right?
Brent has a county-issued one.
You say you pay $30 or $40 a month for how many phones?
Per phone. We got two phones.
Oh, just two phones?
We got two phones, and they're each $40 a month.
And, you know, I mean, Zelle, I would hope that they would have some, they have the ability of working with all these counties. Maybe they have some ideas for the unique circumstances of the police or the road department, because those are unique departments as to how they are doing it. But
I guess I don't understand quite why phones would come into play in the road department. Wouldn't they just come to the shop and stick the thumb in the thing and away they go?
Some of the shops don't have cell service or any internet service.
Probably Homer.
Homer
Emerson doesn't have it.
The fingerprint scanner works.
So they don't have a phone down at Homer shop?
No. Or Emerson shop.
No landline, no nothing.
No.
I think these are all things we could work out. I think we should, I don't think we should just give up this idea. I think we need to keep moving forward, ask a lot of questions, talk to other people, and since we're going to work with Zelle, maybe take some advice from them. They might have had the same problem in other counties.
Right.
We don't know.
But if we can even get half of them to come in right, or right now 50% of our
it would help a lot, wouldn't
timesheets are have errors of one sort or another. I mean, they get caught somewhere along the line between, you know, the employee that writes them out and the supervisor. They might catch it as they're adding them up. The supervisor might catch it. It might get caught by Robin, by me.
Yeah, and one of the problems is also going forward is if we have some people that use it and some people that don't, then it's just a double headache for the clerk again.
Sure.
To do that, because we kind of did that for a while just as a trial run, but so
figuring out how to get it implemented across
right,
the board.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's either a yes or no going forward. So. And I'm not sure we have all the answers we need. If the board, I mean, I don't want to table it just because, you know, well.
We got to quit tabling things.
Okay.
That's
fine.
That's just my opinion. I mean, let's just make a decision with it and go on. Some things you have to, but this has been going on. And, you know, Kevin brings up a great concern. I like I said again, you know, Dylan saying, you know, the fix of it, and then, you know, of course Jolene talking about the union, you know, I guess in a nutshell maybe it is something that we need to maybe discuss later on, but I wouldn't say, you know, we're going to have to table it because it's the way it's kind of noted on there, isn't it? I don't want to table. I hate tabling things.
Just move it to another agenda without tabling.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay, let's.
You don't have to
that's what I think we need to do. We need to do some more research. You guys got your HR people on board. I do some more research. Do not table it. If it was me, I would just put on another agenda if it's a month from now, and let's figure it out. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I would do. If you guys want to keep it alive.
Implementation doesn't have to be tomorrow. I mean, implementation could be January.
Yeah, we could say October 1.
Yeah, but I do think there's a way you can do it. We just have to figure out how to make it
work for everybody.
It
has to work for everybody, or it can't work at all. Seriously,
right. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. So,
but it'd be great if it would. It would save.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Save time.
I think so
it
too.
It would save time for everybody, employees.
So, further noted, Chair, we'll just. I don't think we need to set a date. We'll just wait for all the research to come in, and then once we figure that we think we've got enough research to
okay, so we'll, as soon as we so the impression I get is that we may be in favor of it. The there is a way, if we figure out the way to do these things and address some of these issues that Joan is jotting down here, we'll bring it back when we have all those.
It's not a dead horse. It's not a dead horse.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Okay.
Is that fair?
Yep. So when we get if we get working with Zelle, maybe they'll have some solutions. Rather, we won't. They can.
Or we might have it figured out.
Yeah.
Without them.
Without them. Yeah. So
Because there were different groups, there were different.
Holy moly, it's 4 o'clock and we're going to consent agenda items.
All right, so let's go then to.
We're thorough.
It's awesome.
We're thorough.
Yes, we are.
Moving right along. The item 3 is the consent agenda, which consists of the approval of previous meeting minutes from July 25th, approval of payroll claims, approval of chair to sign annual certification form regarding the allocation and expenditure of the highway, street, and bridge buyback program, and approval of veteran service officer quarterly report from April to June. So, Janet, I think it's your motion.
As I mentioned about payroll today, we still have some questions that are unanswered related to calculations, some overtime, and what was the other thing? Looked like, yeah, that was, and then she had some questions too. She was waiting for some answers from one of the departments. But yeah, so we approve subject to getting clarification on, I hope we can do that, approve the payroll and the consent agenda items subject to verifying those calculations and that overtime amount.
So we can make that a contention, Kim, or not do payroll.
If they're approved, then they're approved.
I knew that, right. Kim was going to give you that. I just knew it.
We've had that before.
I think right. Michelle is gone.
Does the handbook compliance? I mean, what's the problem?
She had several on there that she marked that she had to get clarification from Michelle, and one of them didn't have calculated. I think it's 10 hours short of pay. I mean, she shorted herself 10 hours, and the other one put it down as regular time, and I think it should be paid as overtime, those kind of things.
It should be simple to figure out.
There's
either
shortages.
40 or if it's over your time.
Either she put the wrong thing in, or I don't know. Because they just write down their numbers, you know, it's not like.
And they're not here to ask. They're not here to ask.
But nobody's going to get paid this week, so perfect.
Or do those five we pull out? I don't know what the right thing is to
do. You can adjust them next time, too. I mean, if they're
Okay. Okay. So maybe that's better.
Because I think.
Maybe
these people would be underpaid if based on what they turned in, because they should be getting more.
Well, we'll pay them next week or 2 weeks from now, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't know how else you look at it.
Okay, so I think we need to approve, and then if there's a change,
okay,
that'll be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there were some people that looked like.
I don't want to change your motion, but that's what we need to do. So
we'll
is that okay, Janet?
And adjust as
if needed.
If needed.
Right.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Can I second it?
You can.
I will.
All right. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as submitted. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Okay, I need clarification. She had approved consent agenda and payroll adjustments as needed will be done on the next time. Mm-hmm. Next time.
Next pay period.
Will be done next pay period. Okay. So Janet and
Scott.
Uh-huh. Okay. Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yeah.
Okay, item 4. Under new business, approval of contract between Dakota County and Nebraska Mediation Center for the term of July 1, 2022 to June 30th, 2023 for a juvenile diversion grant and their service for truancy mediation services for pre-adjudicated for youth ages 11 to 18. I don't think Sarah's here, so. This is just a yearly.
It's a new vendor.
A new vendor.
It's a new vendor that they have. The state has asked them, the juvenile diversion officers, to work with for truancy. So it's a new contract, a new vendor.
Okay. All right. So a new vendor.
Salute. Kim, you're okay with it?
Yes.
Okay. Attorney says, all right, we're good.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
All right. Item 5 under old business is Jolene Google's Highway Superintendent Road Report, please.
Well, we're cooking
Talk
the
fast.
Now. All right.
We've had 278 hours of maintaining
1 hour of tree removal, 13 hours cleaning up the bridges for the bridge inspections, 11 hours repair on the Willis Bridge, 28 hours on Perry Avenue Culvert, 59 hours on 212th Street in South Bluff, 37 hours on South Bluff Culvert, 41 hours on South Bluff Ditch between 212th and 225th Street. We had 3 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 50 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete, 21.5 hours on signs, and requests for grading on 200th Street.
Okay, that 50 tons of that crushed concrete, did that go out on H or something?
Looked at it today. I don't think so.
No, 1 hour on 180th.
180th, and then there was one other spot. It was okay. Two spots.
How many operators we got, motor grader guys we got working currently?
Currently working, 5. Well, we kind of pulled our mechanic in to run the motor grader a little bit too.
Who's the mechanic?
Jared. He does the shop, signs.
So we're down 2?
We're down 2.
Do you have an add out?
Yes.
Do we have an add-out? Yes. Okay.
Any takers yet?
We have one person that we would like to consider. They do not have a CDL, so they would have to put some money up front to, because according to the contract, they don't pay. The county will reimburse for the CDL if you get past the 6 month probation. It costs about $2,500, $3,000 to get that, so that would be an upfront expense for him. So we're going to reach out to him and see if he'd be willing to do that.
That's a pretty good bonus.
It's a tough upfront expense to put on somebody, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, they changed all the CDL rules big time. Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Jolene?
Nope.
Nope.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
We need a motion.
Maybe this is...
No, we don't.
Do we have the 1 and 6? Because that was mentioned in something.
In September, that'll get.
Oh, September. No, that's when we get that. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you had that question.
Yeah, I sent you an email about the. I had a question about the
cemetery.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was. Yeah, it's right there. The entrance there and the waterway.
I had that email with me somewhere.
Yeah, and I know we've discussed it before, but I didn't know what list it was on.
I don't know if it's on the 1 and 6 or that. Basically, I got to put everything on the 1 and 6 regardless.
Okay.
Because it's the improvements we're doing, so it will be on there.
Okay.
If we could cost share with Jackson, that would be always a benefit.
Yeah.
Jolie, do you want to comment on the next item while you're up on the big iron or the road surplus?
Yep. Okay, so we had a motor grader on Big Iron, and it sold for $61,000. We had a fee.
$6,100? Advertised at about $6,400.
Oh, yeah.
Commissions and advertising fee.
Yep. So we should be getting a check. Where is that?
$54,900.
Oh, so it was $61,000, and then we had some fees.
Sorry,
it was 10% plus an advertising fee, so it was like $54,000.
Well, yeah.
Jesus.
Is what we ended up with.
Okay.
Okay. We'll look for the check.
So we need approval on that.
I'll make a motion for you to approve for the chair to sign the road surplus. Report. That's my motion.
I'll second your motion.
Okay. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the road surplus board report. Call the roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay. Item C is to approve or not approve bidding out county health insurance with RFP to include self-funded and fully funded options. Troy, do you have any comments, or anybody comments for starters on this before we talk to folks here?
I think it's a great thing. Like Zell said, you know, every 3 or 4 years to get a bid and see what's going on. So.
Okay. Any other board questions? Otherwise, we have Robert Rapp is here, I think. Robert, you want to come up?
Sure.
Please. And I know Don had sent a email today on some the just in general comments on that. I don't know if you wanted to go.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Or just briefly explain where we're at.
I got a question real quick. Now, I think that Don, or the many of years that we've dealt with Don, mm-hmm. I think that they're not tunnel visioned on just keep signing with the same people. I think you guys put it out to market, if that's the correct proper word.
Yeah, every
to look and see what the best bang for the buck is for the county. Correct.
Yeah. Again, your plan, your health insurance plan renews in March, March 1st. And they do shop it out to 16, 17 different companies that are already out there. And except if we as the brokers, Don and I, if we felt we've had the good fortune of being with you guys for 16 years, back when my dad was involved with it.
Miss that guy.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, like I said, we've had the good fortune of being involved with that for many years. And, yeah, every year we go out, and we've looked at self. We've looked at fully insured plans. But over the years, the self-insurance, the self-funding plan has been the best option for the county. And, yes, we do go out to multiple insurance companies. We don't bring you – we bring you the best offers that come towards you. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that happens automatically. That happens automatically. And to answer the first question, there was a RFP for 2 years ago for the TBA services. So we were fortunate to be chosen for that as well. And that's when we brought MidAmerican onto the scene. So that happens underneath that we bring you the best results. Because we want, again, obviously, me being a taxpayer in the county, we wanted to bring the best bang for the buck there, too, as well.
So, Robert, how would that work, then, if there was an RFP? Because Don mentioned in here that, if, I don't know, just, can you explain that?
The issue would be we reached out to Blue Cross ourselves. We were licensed with Blue Cross. We reached out to them, right, and I don't want to get into a lot of details because there's some private health information, but as you know, you see the claims. The claims have been fairly substantial, and there's some things, a lot of things going on right now. We're not, from what we're seeing is, it would be difficult. You couldn't get a bid for February now, March 1st, anyway. No insurance is going to give you that now, okay? And I think you're asking for in October. That's not going to be able to, because they're not going to have that. Your plan year is not even halfway done. So and then you'd also have to get health information from all of your individuals or the larger claims. Those type of things are going to want all that claim information. So it makes it very difficult. This now, as you get closer to the plan renewal, that's obviously the time to do that. So
if we were going to do this, so you're saying this isn't a good time? We couldn't get that information.
You could, but we're not. We feel pretty confident that the fully insured plan would not even quote it right now, because you don't, because you're in the middle of the year. And also, from the on the self-funded side, okay, you guys signed a year contract that protects the county. Okay, we can't change our terms of the contract, but you also have to look from the insurance company's point of view. They're going to protect themselves as well, so they want to make sure that they've got a full year contract. So they want to make sure that that if you guys left them, you know, they're going to protect themselves, and some claims could be on the hook for some claims as well from the self-funded side.
So it's not a good time.
No, you want. That's why the renewals are all. It doesn't matter if it's a two-person group or a 90-person group. Renewal time is the good time to look at those, because then you have a full year And then the insurance company can give you that full information.
So we wouldn't actually, till March, we wouldn't?
Well, no, we come to you in February, end of January, first part of February, with the renewal. Again, we're, Matt Woolenway from Mid-America, he comes up, he's done all that on the backside anyway. He's reached out to all the reinsurers on the self-insurance side. He's reached out to them, and he'll, like I said, I think he'll give you at least 15. You know, some companies won't quote it, some, you know, because of the health history. And we're going to bring you two or three offers and two or three options to look at.
Okay. So, Robert, when does he start doing that, by October?
He'll start looking at it for February. He'll look at it December. Yeah,
December.
Yeah, first part of December they start looking at it, because then they have 3/4 of the year is complete. And so, you know, it's not saying you couldn't have a large claim in February, but right. Then it's also important from our side of the world is once they make their decision, we come bring it to you as soon as feasible, and then in a lot of cases you can stop the underwriting. So that if you would incur a large claim, that's not affected against the. But again, unfortunately, you have had some large claims, and again, you guys see those claim numbers. So
as you pointed out, you know, you reach out to 16, but there's quite a few that won't bid our plan,
right?
Because of our size or claims or history.
So, some companies are not in. They're like governmental bodies. They don't want to get involved with those. That's not their niche. Some of it's claim history. Mm-hmm. Some of it's size. There's a lot of different factors. So, yeah.
So yeah, that's where we're getting limited.
Right.
People coming back.
Right.
At us.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And we've been fortunate enough, and again, I go back to when we originally got involved, the county was in the position where no one would take them. And that's why we did go to the self-insured route. So
back to Troy's question then. So a good time, so now isn't a good time to be doing that, more like February?
Right, and we're going to bring you those dollars anyway. Yes, Troy.
So if you talk to NACO, and I think we talked to him last year, at least I did, we need to start earlier instead of later if we want to get a bid from them. And they do have Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they go through a big bundle deal where they go through all the counties. And I would like to get a price from them. And I do believe that we have to start sooner instead of later. If we wait till then, we're not going to get a price from them. It's going to be too late.
Yeah. Well, I think I would say, again, that process would happen in the normal renewal time in December or January.
Last year, I think we talked to him in December, and there wasn't enough time, was there?
I think we got an indication, like, is it that they didn't have a full analysis.
Without an RFP out there, they wouldn't give the employee health history.
Yeah.
So I thought we had to have an RFP, and maybe Zell can help us.
Yeah,
they do
that, that would be a...
That would be a...
Because after the first year,
I mean,
still...
Because I need some help on this. I'm not sure how.
I would like to talk to the NACO guys on their insurance deal and ask them when we need all this stuff, and so we can get going with them too. Because I mean, I would like to at least get a price from them.
Well, and they had the unique angle of being able to do stipends for people that didn't need insurance, which made it a little bit different of a model, I guess, which was intriguing.
It never hurts to shop around.
Yeah.
And Don seemed to think that he would reach out to Blue Cross and Blue Shield,
which we have done, Joe,
without an RFP out there.
Yeah, we've reached out to them and everything else, and that's the difficulty of, like I said, the claims information from what we're seeing is our broker-in-law said they're not so sure Blue Cross would even quote it right now.
How is NACO different from them? They use Blue Cross Blue Shield. Are they a different provider?
I can't speak to that.
I can't speak to them either, but I'll bet you they'd have a price for us. If we give them the right paperwork, I would just bet you we'll get a price.
Because they want Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Right,
but I'm familiar with that a little bit, being from the school board. On the school board. There is a large, same kind of concept.
Yeah.
They call it the Educators Health Alliance pool.
Yeah.
The problem is they'll give you a price, but then they'll also subsidize it. They'll rate it up because of the health history. So then it becomes Then it becomes where I'm going to, that's why the self-funding has worked over the years, because yeah. You don't have that rating on top of it.
Right. Right.
Okay, so Troy, yes. Do you have a going forward here, do you need to reach out to?
I have a contact. I'll definitely call tomorrow.
Zell or somebody and
both. I'll talk to both.
So
I'll talk to NACO, the insurance department, and I'll talk to Zell too.
See what we need. So, well, we appreciate you coming and the information. Dylan, did you have a comment? I don't want to cut you off, Robert. But
oh, you're fine.
Thank you.
So I have something to, thanks for having me, I guess, to kind of share with you guys that will help mitigate some of your healthcare costs. It's something that unique that probably none of you have really ever seen. It is exclusive to the brokerage that I sell health insurance out of. It is a standalone health insurance plan that pairs to your already existing health insurance. So anything that you guys have going on with health insurance, it's not going to affect that. It's actually going to cut down your cost, okay? It's called Champion Health. It was started by a doctor whose mom actually had stage 4 cancer. And his whole thought behind this was trying to catch things before they happen, right? We see it all the time with health stuff where people just aren't going to the doctor or they're not focusing on their health. And then bam, right? The companies that this plan works with, just to mention a few, Amazon, Arby's, Denny's, McDonald's, Papa John's, these are all companies that this plan has been implemented in. I was just lucky enough to fall into this brokerage that sells this. The reason I bring up those companies that it's partnered with means that it's been vetted. It's gone through the IRS, and a lot of lawyers and accountants have looked at it, right? What it's going to do for the county as an overall, not to get way into the tax code, but it's a tax savings for the county, okay? What this plan does is it classifies as a cafeteria 125 plan, which is going to give you a tax reduction on the taxable income of those employees, right? So what it does, not to get huge into it, it saves the county $573 per person per year, okay? So easy math, if you got 100 people, that's about $60,000 of freed up money that you would have paid on your FICA for those employees' payroll taxes, okay? Because what the plan does is it basically costs $1,200, we're gonna lower that person's taxable income. So the 7.65% that you pay on every employee has now been reduced, okay? So that's what it's gonna do for the county, is it's gonna save it's a fixed rating of $573 per person per year. What it's gonna do for the employee is now we just lowered their taxable income, so less taxes came out, right? What that person needs to do every month is they're actually gonna have an app downloaded to their phone, okay? What that's going to do is it's a health manager, okay? You're going to say, maybe I want to quit smoking cigarettes. Maybe I want to lose weight. Maybe I want to whatever, right? There's going to be a video or a notification sent to them one time or once every month, and it's just a 3-minute video survey assignment that they fill out, okay? What that's going to do then is create a CPT code, and we're going to pay them after taxes. Right back, they're going to get $1,130 back, okay? So what that actually does is increase every employee's paycheck about $100. It all depends on how much they're getting paid and their salary and things, but what we see average is about $100 to $150 for increase of a paycheck every month, okay? So we save the county $573 per year per person. We increase everybody's paycheck to help afford, pay for health insurance or whatever. Then the benefits that it's going to give you is it's going to give you zero copays on a lot of your health insurance stuff. So some of the things that it's going to give you zero copay on, primary care doctor. Okay, so if you guys have a $20 or $40 copay, it's now zero. Urgent care, most urgent care stuff is probably about a $75 copay. It's now zero with Champion Health.
It's going to give you zero copay, unlimited prescriptions on generic tier one. Okay? It's going to give you unlimited telemedicine and telemental health. Okay? Mental health is a huge thing, you know, in this country now. And a lot of health insurances don't cover mental therapists or give you access to mental therapists. You're actually, each person is actually, or this group is actually going to have a doctor assigned to them who is going to watch these different, you know, health assessments that they send in to help catch things early. But also they have access to call a mental therapist 365, 24/7, okay? And there's zero copay on that. The other thing that it's going to help is it's going to give 100% preventative care. There's about 40 different things on the list that they can do towards preventative care that's going to be zero copay as well. This does classify as MEC, which is minimal essential coverage under the Ford Care. And then, like I said, it gives you a personal health manager, and that doctor is actually going to be watching. What this does is, since you guys are running, you know, a self-funded health insurance, is it cuts down on the number of claims because people are more geared towards their health, is what we find. And it also keeps those claims, those smaller claims that would have went towards your health insurance, it's now going to be charged to Champion Health. Okay, so when renewals come around, if you're on a self-funded plan, all those claims didn't go towards that plan. Okay, so basically, it's going to save the county money. It's going to increase everybody's paycheck. It's going to give them a bunch of benefits, and it's also going to help them gear towards their health, their overall health. It's pretty easy to implement. Our payroll company reaches out to whoever is in charge of your payroll. They implement this. The only time that we see that it doesn't work for someone is if they already have a lot of tax deductions coming out, right? Because there's only so many deductions that one person can get. So if you have a lot of dependents or you're putting a mass amount in your 401k, the plan won't make sense for that person. But when we roll this out, we usually see about a 98% you know, completion from people, because who doesn't want extra money on their paycheck, right?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
It really sounds good.
And it'll literally pair, even if not everybody is on, you know, your guys' group health insurance, say 50 people were on it and 50 people had it through their wife or somebody else, it will still pair to their health insurance. Okay? So there's really no downside to this. I know that's kind of a cheesy thing to say as a company, but the only time it doesn't work is when someone just has too many tax deductions already coming out. So
it's a supplemental plan is what it is.
It's not a supplemental plan. It actually qualifies as a cafeteria 125 plan, which is the same thing as like dental, vision, and that stuff. So
we already have a cafeteria 120. We're already in a cafeteria.
And that's perfectly fine. You have multiple cafeteria 125 plans. This plan is the only one on the market that's going to give you the tax reduction that you see here.
Okay, well, let us, it's great information. Let us do some, I'm going to ask Robert for his two cents. not today, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's exclusive to the brokerage that I sell out of. It won't affect anything that you guys have currently going on with health insurance. It just enhances already what you have in place and helps save the county money. I did send a brochure email over to Joan, so she does have that for you guys too.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it, Dylan.
Thanks, Dylan.
Okay. So we are good with Troy. We're okay with C then.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll just, we won't even.
Mowing directly.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Item D is to, well, you know, all right, we can discuss it. Approve or not approve a plan for a mowing veterans drive. So we had a Board of Equalization meeting earlier. There's been some discussion on land ownership, et cetera, et cetera. And I think according to our map, We have more. We need to visit with the city of South Sioux again on the Veterans Drive mowing, because it appears that the land in question is owned by the city. We have a survey plat that shows that. So we have been doing it since inception, whatever that was, Scott. So anyway, that's I guess that's and if anybody has any other comments on that,
I think we just need to wait to see what the city says. I know you kind of had a brief conversation.
Yeah, and I'll reach out to them again and show them what I did found out initially was tell them that because we've been doing it, there's a piece by Bennett Avenue that was done, and Scott's done it a number of times, but turns out that's not our land, so we are not, as far as the assessor's office, we are not.
Well, then maybe they'll reimburse us for mowing it all.
Hell, I didn't get reimbursed. Why in the hell should they reimburse us?
We'll have to come up with
a personal plan.
This survey is dated 2015.
So I guess that's the information on Veterans Drive.
That's good to know. Thanks for digging into that. That's
yeah. So then, so we'll just...
Sounds too good to be true, but yeah, no, my pleasure tomorrow.
Yeah. So I guess we won't...
Sure, anytime.
So I guess the plan is, I don't know if we need to approve it or not, is for me to have more discussions with the city of South Sioux and their responsibilities on mowing down there.
Did you say they sent us a bill or going to...
No. No, it's that's a whole nother.
Oh.
No. Scott's been mowing it for years. So I'll have that discussion with them. Let's move on then to E, which is another mowing issue. So approve or not approve leasing a tractor for mowing and general road maintenance when needed.
Can I just real quick, briefly, is it okay? So after that Friday, a week ago Friday, when I went down and mowed it, when it got the letter or the email from the city, I went down to mow it, okay? And obviously I wasn't real happy at the time about it. And, of course, I made a call to the city, blah, blah, blah. They took it wrong. And then I think I responded in the right way, that I was done doing it. But at that time, Bob and I met down there, 5 days later, last Wednesday, we met down there, and I showed him everything that we mowed and questioned the Bennett Avenue from the Veterans Drive and et cetera. And we drove up over, C Avenue, and I get, believe me, I understand everybody's outlook on the landowner mowing, twice a year, per the state statute. But this is the deal. Some of the guys will do it. Some won't. Some will go the extra mile to make it look nice. So what I did, I just took the initiative, talked to Bob. I called over to Wayne, where we've always rented the tractor. They said they have a 6195 over there that they could rent us for $1,000 a month if we want it for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, till fall, whatever. So I think we still have a mower that I think it needs a little TLC, because getting a mower right now, in today's world, by the time we got to take bids and et cetera, it's going to be too late. So I called Brent, asked him, I said, hey, if the board will approve of getting a tractor, do you have access or would you have a need for it? And he says, if we get some rain, he said, I will be able to use it to do some road and ditch work with it. Yes. So that's exact words. So anyways, that's what I have on the tractor. $1,000 a month, which I'm surprised that it's, I think last time we used to pay $1,100. I think back in whatever, we paid $900 and went to $1,000, went to $1,100, and I figured it was going to be more than that, but he says, I'll do $1,000 and we'll deliver it to the county. So
how many horsepower?
195.
And that's a one-month only lease?
You can do, if you want it for 1 month, 2 months, until October, whatever you want. He says $1,000 a month.
So we don't necessarily need it for mowing, we don't think, but just for ditch work is what you're thinking.
No. I'm thinking we need them for both, because I want to go back to the mowing situation and C Avenue. I took Bob down there. He sees Attica. And this is the thing. You're going to spend, if we'd rent that for $1,000 a month, okay, which I think is cheap, real cheap, for unlimited hours. But even if I would go back and take care of all the mowing and get everything cleaned up for several reasons, for the appearance, and number two, for the snow, because I promise you that we're going to get snow someday. Okay, and the way these weeds are, and along the highways and C Avenue that runs north and south, you're going to have drifts from hell if it does snow again, and it will. Okay, so I don't know. That's where I'm at. I take a little pride in that, but if you guys want to pursue it, they can deliver a tractor. If not, Bob, take over.
Well, we have a mower or something that like Scott says, we with some TLC, we'd have a mower that we could pull behind the tractor.
If we get parts.
The last time I used it was 2 years ago, and it was in rough shape. I mean, every year, Stephen had to weld on it. I'd be going to Ottawa to pick up some parts for it. I mean, it's definitely pre... I think it was there when Fred Kellogg originally started. He said it was wore out then. And it works, and it just needs a little TLC.
Are we using it this summer, Jolene?
We got nothing to pull it with.
Okay. All right, well, that answers that.
Well, we have the tractor out there, but it doesn't have the air conditioner or nothing like that.
And then what I was told, I don't know anything about this tractor, but I told it didn't have enough power to pull that thing.
Oh, they used it over there on Bluff Road, North Bluff.
I know nothing about it.
And they got too hot and they quit and they took it back to the shop.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do we have staff that, I mean,
we don't have the people to take out the graders
to put it on mower? I mean, I think getting the grades is...
We don't have the personnel. And then another thing, and my mind will never change. Why should we go down C Avenue and mow that road? It's a paved road. And not mow everybody in the county. They all pay taxes.
I got two words for you. What? State law.
Well, then, let's mow everybody. Let's get two or three mowers.
Well, hold on a second there. When you say mow everybody, you're talking every county road?
Yeah.
I mean,
why not?
I mean believe it or not, Dixon County has three mowers.
I don't know about three.
They do. They have three mowers, I was told, from Fred Kellogg.
I know they got mowers.
That's all they do is mow county roads.
So they're being fair to the taxpayer. They're doing everything. They're not just doing a select few people.
Well, that's my two cents, so... whatever. I think it's...
And the manpower, we can't keep people as it is right now.
Well, what do you need manpower for?
To run the tractor.
To do what? You mean like mow with it?
Sure.
I will do all the mowing, I said.
It's got to be a full-time job.
Larry, you know how many years I've done this for?
We need three mowers and three...
Do you know how many... I'm not talking every road in the county. I'm talking hard service roads.
The hard service roads. Those that got the best of both worlds.
I've done them all.
Yeah.
So there's about three places, Scott, that you mentioned. There's C Avenue. There's
Dixon Path.
Dixon Path.
Golf Road.
Golf Road. I know them all. And sometimes the guys would come grab the tractor, or I would take it out there to them, and then they would take it to Homer and do whatever, or if they would do part of it. Listen to me. It doesn't. I was frustrated and pissed off when I was down there mowing a week ago. Not gonna lie. Okay, and at that time, I was like, you know, something has to happen. And that's when I got Bob involved and showed him everything. But if you guys don't care about the appearance of the county and Highway 20 and out there by the old pink elephant and getting, you know.
Well, how are we to ask the taxpayer or put it in the paper that he's got to mow his road ditches twice a year, and then we're out mowing people's on the paved roads? And what about the guy that... I don't get it.
But it's been that way for how many years?
That's what Fred said. It's been that way for 20 years.
It's been longer than that. It don't matter to me because you know what? If I'm willing to do this, I'm going to have probably 120 to 150 hours invested of my own time sitting in a tractor running 10 mile an hour, mowing this stuff, making it look nice. I don't care. I'm just giving you guys what I think makes sense to make it look nice and to get rid of the problem for the windrow of snow, but it's totally fine. I'm good with it.
Well, and after Scott mows Larry, he's a lot more docile.
Well,
when he comes to the meeting.
The horsepower, the high horsepower motor grader we got today, I'll guarantee you, they'll drop that wing and they'll knock everything out that's in the way.
Well, have you seen, Larry, you get around. Have you seen C Avenue? You go across that bridge?
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
I mean, it's terrible.
And I've been on North Bluff, too, and there's weeds. That's tall.
Yeah. And now Dorsey and them take care of their part.
Well, most days do. Yep. They go on the golf course in front of their place.
Yep.
Gerald and Scott.
I've mowed it. I know all about it.
Well, unfortunately or fortunately, Scott is willing to do the mowing.
But he's going to be out there all day and all night for the rest of his day.
But he just—he's going
to. What difference does that make to you? What I'm going to do if I'm going to be out there from sun up to sundown?
So
what do you care? Why is that? What does that matter to you?
That's no life, geez, Scott.
I love that life. It don't make no difference to me.
It's therapy.
You guys don't want it.
It's therapy.
Listen to me. If you guys don't want to do it, that's totally fine. I'm offering to mow it. If you don't want to rent the tractor for $1,000 a month for the next 2 months to clean things up, to have a little pride in your county, whatever.
Well, Scott, are they looking for a month or two or whatever we need it?
He just said if you want it for a month, you want it for 2 months, and then he said then if you guys are interested for next year, we'll order you a new tractor for next year for the same price. That's exactly what he said.
But you think it'd take a couple months to get it?
That sounds almost too good to be true.
I can get the guy on the phone right now.
You think it'd be a couple months to get
it? Jolene, have they done that for how many years?
When I started, we were getting a tractor every month.
Well, this is the thing.
For how much, Jolene?
In 2011.
It started off 800 and then an increase. I can't remember where. The last couple of years, I think it might have been 1100.
In 2011, when we started, when I was here, it was $900 a month. And after so many years, it went to 1,000. And to my recollection, the last time I was on the county board, whatever time it was, the 2 years, it was $1,100, and now he's saying $1,000. So,
yeah, and I think it was last time we got one.
It was $1,100.
See, it wound up being $7,000 for the 6 months or 6 months plus.
Yeah,
whatever.
Okay, well, even if you mow, I mean, you can charge that back. I mean, like for September, they're supposed to mow, and if they don't mow in September, you're right, then the snow that comes in October could be. But then if you have to mow it, then you charge it back to the people.
But how do you? Like, see, up in Dixon County, a whole lot different program. Up there, they charge you. If you don't mow your road ditch, they'll charge you. I got a cousin that lives up there, says he can charge you $400. He says, hell, I can do it cheaper than that. So he mows his own.
Yeah.
See?
Well,
are we supposed to charge the landowners along these paved roads? And I guess if I was a taxpayer out here on Moody Avenue or something, I'd say, if somebody said something to me about my weeds from the county road department,
I think it's a little different. I don't think anybody's ever came and said, hey, you mow the hard surface, but you don't mow
that. 99% of the people don't know it.
Oh, boy, you'd be surprised.
No, you'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised. All the times, the hours I've spent out there mowing hard surface road, how many people do you think from outside the county has seen me in it or know that it's a county tractor?
They ain't got no name on it.
Well, we got it in the budget. I'm going to make a motion. We approve $1,000 a month for 2 months and take care of the mowing we need to take care of.
And the tractor can go along with the road department.
Right.
As they need it.
If we got people run the thing.
I don't know.
And we currently don't.
Yeah.
I'll second it and see where she goes, Bob.
Okay. Any more input? If not,
the one question I have is: Do we know what the mower does need to be fixed? Have we looked at it?
I personally don't know.
I think it needs a new clutch. The last time I think it's been touched was by my
clutch blades.
I've been told. Yeah.
It's the clutch.
And then we get parts to put it back.
Where they've always gotten parts, and I've ran to Ottawa a few different times to grab parts for it. Is some little dealership in Ottawa, Iowa.
What brand of mower is it?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Old.
Is it a Rhino?
Is a dealer in Ottawa, I think.
No, there's one down in West Point, I know.
Yeah, I know there's one in Ottawa. That's where I've always went to get the parts.
If it's a Rhino.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
All right, Joan, we have a motion and a second.
All the paper, all the stickers wore off, and I couldn't tell you what it is.
To approve.
Janet, 2 months, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say for general road maintenance. Okay, yes.
Larry?
No.
Troy?
I'm not ready to go there yet, no.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, hold on a second, I gotta clarify something. Her motion was for general road maintenance, not for mowing. Is that correct?
Mowing.
She didn't make the motion.
I didn't really say, but that's what
not
I thought.
Not the motion, but
I don't think we should be mowing people's.
Okay, so that changes the whole deal. That changes. I mean, I'm serious. It changes the whole deal. I mean, if you're gonna do it for general maintenance, it's just then the guys at the shop are just gonna use it. I think it's a waste of money if that's gonna be the case. If she's voting on just general maintenance,
so you're so can I rescind my motion, Kim?
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong or right
on that?
Yeah.
I just want to clarify.
In September, I'm fine with it.
Okay, I'm going to then I'm going to rescind my motion on that 2 month deal.
And you don't have to vote.
Scott.
I haven't called.
That's, you know what? That's fine.
No, okay, so she hadn't called.
I mean, I did call.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I'm going to rescind that then because it was just.
I didn't really make okay. It. Okay,
no, that's fine. That's fine.
General maintenance, so.
So do we have to vote on the rescind motion, Kim? On mine and Scott's.
Yeah.
Yes, so we have to vote. Okay, so call the roll, please.
Scott, rescind his motion.
It'd be pointless. The vote of it would be for Mullen.
Scott, are you going to rescind?
Yeah, I'm going to rescind.
I thought they would use it for
Dick. If they had the manpower and the organization to do it,
okay. So this is the vote to rescind the motion.
Yeah, manpower.
He's short 2 days.
He's been a good volunteer, though.
Yeah, I know, Scott.
Jenna
was
first last time.
She's got a weed.
Yeah, I did
Scott.
I did
Scott.
That's
a lot of work.
Okay, this is a vote to rescind the motion.
I don't know what the hell's going on right now. I'm just telling what I'm
saying. Larry.
Yes, what? Yeah.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Okay, so then I'll go ahead and make that motion to approve the plan, or excuse me, the lease, a 2 month lease for mowing if and when needed.
Got to get the mower fixed first.
That's part B.
But that ain't going to change anything. So I'm going to second it. Okay. So for mowing and for maintenance. So let's get the show on the road here. Sorry, Joan. Joan's like.
Okay. Okay. So it's Troy.
No.
Bob.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
No.
Larry.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
Good. I don't have to mow. Thank you.
There you go.
I had a good plan, but
moving right along, we do have a item F is the jail report. We do have that, correct?
No, it's marked off.
Oh, I thought I saw. Oh, that's a road report. Sorry. Okay. So we don't have that jail report. Item G is Sheriff's Office to present distress warrant report showing the total amount collected on current distress warrants and amount remaining uncollected. Board to approve report and authorize the assessor to remove from the property tax rolls and said properties recommended on Sheriff's distress warrant report to be stricken and deleted by corrections. Randy? Just what we've been waiting for.
Hey, we're still waiting.
Okay. Scott. Stress warrants come out in October of last year. At the end of October, there was 226 of them. Value of $100,795.89. Out of those 226 of them, 211 of them have been satisfied and were collected by the sheriff's office. One was paid to the county treasurer's office after that date. It was due to nothing on the part of the treasurer's fault. It was just a mix-up on some tax and stuff. I got 12 of them to be stricken, which is down listed down below in that second column. And there are none to be deleted by correction. And I had two properties that were sold at a sheriff's sale, about a whopping $2. Both of them are abandoned titles. I gave the bill of sale to the people that bought them, the trailer court management bought them. And I'm pretty sure that they're probably both on the way to being hauled out into the landfill. Yeah. They wanted them just so they could get them, windows broke out and stuff like that, and get them destroyed. The 12 down there in the second column, the first two are the ones I sold in the property there. The other 12 were the ones to be stricken. the unable to locate ones. I talked to Christy. A lot of them are vendors that have got leased property here in the county. So I found out where the property was at, was supposed to be at. I talked to the local businesses. I called them. I had one of them says, well, I got the property. I'll give it to you. I said, that didn't sound so good. And he says, well, they're sitting in the back storeroom. That was Mercy Medical. They don't work. The company no longer is a vendor with them. Won't come get them because you can't find no place to get them because they're all LED stuff and they it's hazardous. They have to have the waste thing. Yeah. There's something. He said, oh, you guys come get them for them. For, I think it was like $46 worth of taxes.
Yeah,
to us to have to do it now. They can get rid of it. And the guy says, I thought you were going to say that. The other ones just are trailers that have been moved out, trailer court and stuff like that. So what I need from you folks is the approval. I'll tell you the total amount collected. We had $105,574.12 was collected by us with additional interest from another $4,959.01. And then the one from County Treasurer. So our total collected was $110,713.92. We need your permission and approval to delete all the back taxes on the two that were sold, because that way we can get them completely off the tax roll, one sold tax sale. And then to strike 12 parcels there to get them off the tax roll so they're done.
This is a lot. This year. Is this a record, Randy?
What?
Dollars?
No.
No.
I've had, over the years that I've been doing this, I've had, 1 year we had 600 some string points.
Oh, wow.
I just had I think the low was about 75.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. There, a lot of them are small, mm-hmm. but it adds up when you got 200 and some stress warrants.
See you, Jolene.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks
for... It just is there, and I mean, it's one of those deals, and it's a lot of... It's not... I enjoy doing it, because I get out and walk the trailer courts. Doug goes with me.
Wasn't last year there one that was really big that was on this list?
It's on that list, and yes.
Is it still on there?
It was a local business.
Yeah.
And the situation was on that is I got a hold of them. Because I had been told by relatively good sources that if you press them too much, there's a good thing to plant, that you're going to have plants that empty. He was already laying off some people. So I talked to them, and I talked to the foreman, and we came up with a deal. They came in and paid $2,000 a month.
Okay.
Every month on the button, that second Wednesday of the month, that foreman handled it. They are paid in full.
Good. I was
for this year. I know the taxes for, and these, you got to remember, these are the 2020 taxes. We don't get a stress warrant until they're a year.
Yeah.
So the 2021 taxes have not been paid either. I've been assured by an attorney affiliated with that company somehow that they will be paid. I'd rather not say them. I'll tell you later. I just don't think it's necessary to have it out on the...
No, there ain't no reason for it. Thank you for doing that, but I'll make a motion to approve the report and the stress warrants and the amount remaining uncollected. Let's see, I must have went backwards there. Authorizing the assessor to remove from the property tax rolls and the properties recommended on the sheriff's distress warrants.
I'll say it.
Okay, motion by Scott and seconded by Larry to approve. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Randy.
Thank you.
Item
Thank you. Good job.
H on the agenda is to approve projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. The first item is, Janet, your postcard.
Yeah, I just talked to Victoria again this morning. As you recall, originally the ARPA money was supposed to be to improve, one of the target areas was broadband accessibility. We do have some problems in Dakota County with accessibility. As a matter of fact, I just checked, we still are short 200 people have to...
Speed test?
speed test. In our rural areas, they don't even have internet to speed test is our challenge in some areas. So we're proposing a postcard that goes out, because we've had a lot of people talk to us, that goes out to our rural residents, which is about 800 and some residents. And they can just fill out, I live at this address and I don't have internet because there's not a provider where I live. So then if we can get those 200 we need, send out 800 things and get 200 we need, we'll have what we call a statistical significant number of known addresses that don't have good access, which will make us eligible for grants that would say for that next mile. So whoever, whatever provider could maybe get a, be given a grant to do another mile this way. So anyway, it's $658 to get these postcards printed and mailed from the mail house. And they can do it within a week, and we have to have the data by the end of September to meet the 95%, what they call statistically significant number, to get those 200. So hopefully, I mean, my thought process is if we send it to 900 people, the people that are frustrated because they can't get internet will write their address down.
And these will go to CIMCO?
CIMCO.
Okay.
It's the state of Nebraska is doing it. All the counties in Nebraska are doing it. But CIMCO is our local.
Okay.
For Dakota County, and then they'll collaborate with Nebraska, and then Nebraska might get a big grant that says Cherry County, Dakota County, these areas are hot for more internet access.
Yeah, broadband was a huge dollar amount in the state.
That was money as well.
So
we found out that during COVID that a lot of these are hard to get educated. Victoria is who's been meeting with us, is Joan, through the economic development.
It does say to come back to the clerk's office.
Yeah, and it said either you could mail it back to the clerk's office or you can drop it in the voters, is the way I told them to write. I haven't seen the final
draft. Okay, yeah, make sure you put the P.O. box.
Yeah,
otherwise
okay.
It won't get to me.
I'll have it verified. If this is approved, okay. I'll make sure that we get the exact verbiage we want. But that was just my proposal to get that.
Okay.
$658, what was it?
$658.16.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve the postcard for the broadband survey, I guess, for lack of a.
And I can second that.
Okay.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay, item, second item on there is electronic engineering. Everybody should have the estimate. We met with these folks for our offices. Nobody has panic buttons. We did at one time. We don't anymore. If we do, they don't work. So this is one of the things that we looked at. So this is the estimate for panic buttons. They will be in the offices are listed on the contract or estimate here. There is 17, if I remember right, 17 total panic buttons. So they're physically installed, two screws in the office, all wireless. The call, if the button is pushed, the call will go to a call center, which is would in turn go to the LEC in South Sioux. That's the way the city of South Sioux, that's how their system works right now. Library, city hall, things like that. Really, I think it's the best a plan going forward because, you know, we're not always guaranteed that there's going to be, that Randy's going to be over here on duty next door. So the last thing we want is you know, for them to call a, push that button and there's nobody there to answer. So it'll go to the LEC, who will then forward it on. It'll say it's this button is pushed in the county courtroom. We need assistance or whatever we need in the county courtroom. So we'll have them in every office. There's two in the treasurer's office. And the monthly, so there's a monthly monitoring fee of $29.95, but once they're installed, that's it. $29.95, and away we go with security, at least somebody there for security or somebody to call that there's if there's a problem.
I'll make a motion to approve the installation panic buttons, Bob.
A second.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Troy.
And you were done.
Any other comments on that?
No, sir.
This is for like a year then. I mean, this quote or this?
That's installed. That,
this or is $29.95. Okay, got it.
Right. It's a month. Yeah. $29 is
$29.95 a month. Yeah. Yeah. Really, it's a pretty good deal. Yeah. I think money well spent.
Yeah.
Right, Don?
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Very nice.
Scott
yes,
made the motion, and I think seconded by Troy, to approve.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
So I can't remember the time frame, Joan, but I think it would be pretty quick.
Yeah, I said I would let them know.
Okay, so pretty quick. Pretty quick installation.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So it's just $29 per year, for, not per one.
No. Just 20. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
really
just,
good deal. Just great deal.
Then on to, lastly, Commissioner Committee reports. Scott?
I don't have anything, I don't think. I don't know.
No.
I don't think I have anything.
Greg Coynton sent this email. Have you guys talked to him about that?
Was that air conditioner thing?
Did he ever call a special meeting?
No. Okay. Obviously not. Okay. You're on the LEC, right, Scott?
Yep. Okay. I haven't heard from him. Okay. I stopped up there and I knew they had some problems with their heating. Mm-hmm. And it seems like there's a lot, or their AC, their HVAC. But I don't remember of anything in general that they talked about. I mean, they said they had a fix. They said they were going to get a few different people to look at it, but they haven't called for any meetings or anything. Okay. I haven't seen anything, and I think Tracy would be calling me.
All right.
Your statement?
Yeah. Okay. Janet? Any?
I got the annual report from our regional health, behavioral health. And like I said, we represent about 9% of the population. We pay about $40,000 a year, and I think our Heartland Counseling gets about close to $1 million to, you know, fund that organization. So it was nice to see it in writing, I guess. Our benefit from membership there.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right, Larry?
No, not really.
Okay, Troy?
No.
No?
Other than that bridge down there to Homer, they're coming along pretty good on it. Actually, they got the two wing walls on the east end got to be done yet, and then they're putting the rebar on the deck. That part of it, half of it, maybe. Looks like they probably could go ahead and pull the deck within a couple of weeks if they stay there. Now they're not always there. And I don't quite understand it, but you know, they must have another bridge going somewhere. Yes. But if you know, they stay there, it'd be the deck gets poured, but it's gonna be, you know, with the time to get the guardrail on and stuff. I mean, if they stay with it a couple of months, I'd say at the most. Okay. And then we've got, as the road department, we've got a considerable amount of work to do there. Because they've over-excavated in underneath the bridge there. And there must be like, geez, I don't know, 100 loads of dirt piled up on the county roads. The minimum maintenance in the county roads. So I don't know exactly what the plan of attack is. I just know we got to take care of it. That's our deal as a road department, you know.
Okay. Well, so just a couple things. From my standpoint, number one is the budget committee, where we haven't met, but I think we're real close to getting our value from Christy, and I think things are looking pretty good as far as that budget coming.
I've heard that before.
As far as that budget coming together,
added some dollars here today.
Yeah, but. So anyway, that should be...
That can be all over the place. We know that.
That'll be pretty soon.
Good.
The last thing that I want to bring up and share with you guys is... It kind of goes back into, well, as a de facto weed superintendent, because we don't have one, so I am, or we are, because we don't have one. So I got a call about 3 weeks ago about a area that needed mowed, or needed attention, let's put it that way. So we sent out a letter to this landowner, gave him the 15 days or 10 days, whatever it was. They called on the day of the deadline and said their husband had health issues, things like that, couldn't get it done, so I gave him another week to mow, right? Because, which I would do for anybody else that said, hey, I can't do it, here's why. So, so I gave him that week. I said, look, get it done this week. So Friday goes, and it's not, I think I got a call on that Friday from the gentleman that initially called it in. He says, hey, Bob, and he's good about it. He says, hey, I don't see really anything going on with that. You know, they're not doing anything out there. So I called our road department. Or I called Brent and I said, so we need to go mow it. We need to do it. So I called Brent, and this isn't a bash Brent thing, but I was shocked because I said we need to go mow it, and Brent says, well, there's a problem. We don't have a tractor to pull the mower. And so I'm thinking right away, like, well, how the heck are we going to mow these? So does that tell you any kind of how our weed mowing superintendent stuff has happened or been going on in the past? We don't have the equipment to do it or the manpower to do it. And we're not going to have it now without having that mower or that tractor to do it. So we need to hire it done. So we're going to pay. Fortunately, we have somebody that will go mow it, but we're going to have to pay somebody to do it, where in my opinion, the road department or somebody or the weed superintendent, whoever that person is, should be the one going to have to go do it, but we can't go do it because we don't have the equipment to do it. So I'm just sharing that with the board. That's where we're at. You know, we still don't have a weed superintendent, so that's actually me, right?
As the board.
As a chair, as the chair or the board, we are the weed superintendent. And honestly, if this person that had called it in, and actually called me again today, he says, you know, and he's really good about it. He lives across the road. He says I think they're doing something. It's about 10% done. Well, here we are, 3 weeks later, 10% done, where, you know, if we have the, in my opinion, there's a reason why we send out letters. There's here's the deadline, you don't do it, we go in or we hire it and get it done. So now we're gonna hire it and have to get it done and
charge
and,
it back to
and,
them,
and yeah and yep. and yeah and charge them back.
This individual mm-hmm. is a problem year after year.
Oh really?
Yeah.
But
did you get
if
I can't.
So anyway, I haven't talked to Troy yet today because we have somebody that will do it. We can hire to do it. So. But it's unfortunate that we don't have a tractor.
See, a farmer guy told me that NRD is supposed to, if they get a complaint, they'll get on you and they lose their cash rent mm-hmm. off the...
If it's CRP set aside.
Right.
And is this specific property that?
That is. See...
Oh, it is? CRP?
Well, it ain't been farmed.
Well, they said they haven't. It's been the same way for like 4 years.
Yeah, it's a whole field.
Really?
Right. They just don't.
Oh.
Somebody used to farm it, they don't farm it anymore. So it could be, I suppose, Larry, that's a good point.
And then we got the same issue right up there at Cranber Lake. I mean, I ain't trying to stick up for that guy, but you got the same thing. The thistles all over the place up there, and they were going out to mow them this morning. Well, it's a little late, but it's already blowing around.
Yeah, right. They are. It is too late.
But they did say, our state guy did say, though, that, like in this case, the guy that I've been dealing with is we need to go in, and somebody needs to go in and mow it. Even though, you know, your point is that the thistles is too late, you still need to mow it. You still need to knock it down.
If we mowed every thistle, we'd be out mowing the highway ditch.
Right.
Too. I mean,
right. No, I get it. I get it. But anyway, I just wanted you guys to know, you know.
If it's obnoxious weed, we're supposed to be out.
Right.
Yeah, July and September, the two periods.
Well, really, technically, we should have been out there 2.5 months ago.
Spring.
Well, you see, and then you can't spray in a reground at soil bank. See, you can't spray it, you can mow it, but you can't spray it. So then we're back to private property where there's row crop in the ditches, and you got these weeds or something right on North Bluff.
But to me, if I take the time and I call one of you guys or you, Janet, on this issue, and we don't do anything about it. You know, it's just not a good,
right.
it's not a good situation. Yeah. Like, well, I talked to you three times now, and it's 10% done.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. If I would have heard that story, maybe before I voted, but.
But to add to that, though, we are looking for equipment at the roads department, and a front wheel assist tractor with air conditioning is the one thing we need.
But why do we have to? I'm always opposed to leasing and renting. Why can't we go buy one for $60,000 and then you have one paid for in 5-10 years or whatever?
No, that's what used one.
Well, we could. We could. You go get an estimate on something.
Well, Luzenberg or somebody sent out a magazine. They must have had 50 of them.
Are these new?
They're used. Shit, brand new is about $300,000. What we'd be leasing.
What are you talking, like a 61, like the one I was just talking about?
Well, some 150 horsepower,
Yeah, 100. Because Brent gave me he gave me the laydown, and I know there ain't a lot of respect for Brent, but he said for 150 horsepower, it's good for this. And by the time you get up to 195, then you can start doing dirt work. He said 150 horse does not really
work
all that
way. But even if we spent $6,000 a year, say we had it 6 months, I mean, that's 10 years.
Yeah.
And you get a new tractor every year, you have no.
But they never use it. So, I mean, it ain't never going to wear out.
Okay, so listen, the 22nd, I'm going to be golfing in Phoenix with my boys.
All right.
Okay?
Well, that's not part of the agenda here.
Well, I think I'm done.
You know what?
I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Hang on one second. Joan, anything else before we
just
end?
Just one thing. M Avenue asked for one more week. He said they're doing a survey.
They're pushing the 22nd, didn't
they? Yeah. They're trying to do a survey, and they just finished some field or something, and now they can do the survey. So
okay.
They asked for one more week. Okay.
All right. With that, then, or actually mail in or emergency business, anybody?
No.
We are done.
5:12.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a good rest of the week or a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.